Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. Brethren, I'm going to ask you to really try to listen carefully. And even if you've heard this before, this is one of the most important things I believe that the Lord has ever given me to share. And I've sought the Lord diligently about these things. And there's going to be some things in here which are true revelation, which has been confirmed by other men of God, men who are capable of judging strong words, capable of judging genuine revelation. So I do hope that even if you've heard this before, that God will give you ears to hear this, because there's going to be some profoundly important things that cannot possibly be overstressed. The Holy Bible convinces me that I am a sinner. Yeah, I know, a big sinner. But the true God forgives sin. In fact, the gospel is Jesus Christ died for sinners. Hallelujah. That's good news. The most godly thing that any human being can do is to forgive. It is not optional, brethren. The walk and life in Christ is in forgiveness. We are called to walk in forgiveness. And it is impossible to walk in forgiveness and unforgiveness at the same time. We must forgive. The first person that we must forgive is ourselves. And also we must forgive all those who have trespassed or sinned or transgressed against us. We must. Nothing will so certainly break the positional authority that we have in Messiah, seated with Him by His Spirit in the third heaven, far above all principality, powers, thrones, and dominion. Nothing will break that. Nothing will break that positional authority that we must have in these days like unforgiveness. Forgiveness is God's grace to forget forever the sins that we confess. 1 John 1:9-10, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Paul said in Philippians 3:13-15, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this to you. Did you ever think what an insult it is to God, who made the supreme perfect sacrifice of love and mercy? Did you ever think what an insult to God that is if we ever drag out a sin which was put under the blood of the Lamb of God? Only the devil, or one snared by the devil, would do so. Always be quick to tell any voice, and I mean any voice, about the blood of Yeshua that would try to drag any sin put under the blood out from under the blood. What an insult to God. Silence and nuke such demonic voices with the power of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. We do not allow such an insult to the true God who forgives sins. We will do that one thing that Paul did so well. Hallelujah. Brethren, we can't change the past. And when we have put something under the blood, we're not going to allow it to be drug out from under the blood. That comes right out of the pits of hell. As children of God, we must be forgiving. To those who sin against us, yes, we must be forgiving. To anyone now thinking, well, you just don't know what that so-and-so did to me, it must be said, you need to understand what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you. And if you really understood what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you, then it won't make any difference what any so-and-so does to you. Jesus Christ died for sinners. Do we really believe the gospel? The gospel is about forgiveness. We cannot be in relationship with God without or apart from forgiveness. It is impossible to be a child of God and walk in unforgiveness. Satan will try any delusion, self-deception, rationalization, excuse, or self-justification, reprobate or unborn-again thought process to get us to think that we can be a child of God and be in unforgiveness. No, that is impossible. If the devil can snare us in that lie of unforgiveness, we are powerless, dead, and bound for hell, whether we know it or not. And to all so bound, Jesus said, you must be born again. And to those so bound and thinking they have been born again, it is living proof of the lie of once saved, always saved. Today, if you will hear his voice, today, if you will harden not your heart, you could be born again again. Brethren, today, I'm telling you, this is spiritual life or death. It is forgiveness which restores our relationship as a child of God. And forgiveness is that act and attitude toward those who have wronged us, which restores relationships and fellowship. Do not ever think the devil's thought that you have a reason or any excuse to walk in unforgiveness. That lie is spiritual death. Everyone needs forgiveness. Everyone. We must walk in forgiveness or else we are not walking in Christ. The basic facts of the Bible are God's creative power and holiness, human rebellion, and the efforts of our merciful God to bring us back to an intended relationship of sonship and fellowship. And David expressed this terrible condition of the unforgiven sinner so graphically in Psalm 51. He spoke of being unclean in verses 2, 7, and 10. He spoke of being sinful by his very nature in verse 5. He spoke of his grief and sorrow at being separated from God in verses 8, 11, and 12. And he spoke of his guilt in verse 14. Sinners cannot live rightly without God, and yet as a sinner, a person is cut off from the holy God. He's a holy God. Sin separates us from him. He is a holy God. And it's only through the mercy of God that anyone can find peace and forgiveness. And we must understand God's demand for a repentant heart as the basis for forgiveness. Jesus is the perfect and final sacrifice through which God's forgiveness is mediated to every person. Romans 3:25 says, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Brethren, do not fail to see that word past as the apostate brand of churchianity does. The blood of Jesus is the way to find the power to restore the relationship. The blood of Yeshua is the way to find the power to stop sinning. The blood of Jesus is not a license to sin. The blood of Yeshua is not a reason to continue in sin. Brethren, if we confess our sins, 1 John 1, 9 and 10, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness by the real Holy Ghost, which gives us the power to forgive and to stop sinning because from the heart we want to do his commandments. The preaching of the cross, 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Brethren, we do not arrive till we get there. Do you remember what Paul said? Paul, at the end of his ministry, says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But still, this one thing he does. Brethren, don't forget, we don't arrive till we get there. We got to keep looking at that cross. And when we look at what he did for my stupid sins and your stupid sins, then we're going to find the power. We got to keep looking at that cross. That's God on that cross. God the Creator, who laid down his Godhood to take on flesh and become God's righteousness to sinners because of my stupid sins and your stupid sins. He had to do that. He did that because of my stupid sins. And if we look at that cross and we see what those who are saved are supposed to see, we will find the power to stop sinning. We find the power to forgive. And we also there see the impossibility for the saved person to be so deceived as to think that they can be saved and walk in unforgiveness. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is about calling us, because of what he has done for us, to walk in a walk of forgiveness. We must walk in forgiveness. And on that cross, where Jesus made such a sacrifice, there were two crucified on either side of him. And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ." Brethren, there's no faith in that at all. If thou be Christ. That's testing God. You don't test God. That's not faith. Brethren, get this picture. One of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing that we're in the same condemnation?" Brethren, don't we fear God? We're in the same condemnation. "And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord." Yes, that's faith. He said unto Jesus, "Lord," faith, "remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Hallelujah. Glory to God. That man is in heaven just as sure, maybe even more sure, than Mother Mary or any of the apostles, because God said so. And wow, did he ever ask a good question. "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation?" Brethren, we need to take that question he asked to heart. Dost thou not fear God, seeing we're in the same condemnation? That man is in heaven today, not because he was baptized, not because he was religious, not because he knew religious stuff, not because he did good works, not because of the way he kept or did Torah, but he's in heaven because he died in repentance and forgiveness. The other one who died close to Jesus on the cross that day is in hell, because he died in unrepentance and unforgiveness. We should understand, brethren, if we fear God, that we are in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, will we die in forgiveness and go to heaven? Or will we die in unforgiveness and go to hell? That's a good question. Don't be deceived by your baptism in water. Don't be deceived by your baptism in the Spirit. Don't be deceived by your past. Don't be deceived by your false doctrines. Don't be deceived by your religious experiences. Don't be deceived by signs, wonders, and miracles. Don't be deceived by your feelings. Don't be deceived by your religious rationalizations. Don't be deceived by your religious stuff. Don't be deceived by your good works. Don't be deceived by your false teacher. Don't be deceived by some false prophet. Don't be deceived by yourself. Don't be deceived by some counterfeit spirit that you think is the Holy Spirit. Don't be deceived by your vain imaginations. Don't be deceived by what any so-and-so did to you. Die in humility, repentance, and forgiveness, and go to paradise with the Lord Jesus Christ, or die in pride, unrepentance, and unforgiveness, and go to hell with the devil. By your choice of repentance and forgiveness, or unrepentance and unforgiveness, you will choose eternal life or death, heaven or hell. Religious people do not understand this. The fuds, thuds, and duds, they're not going to understand this. But I believe the children of God, by the Holy Spirit, will understand this. A child of God can understand the possibility that the unforgivable sin is unforgiveness. It's not a question of God's ability or desire to forgive, but rather a matter of human willingness to meet the conditions for forgiveness. Yes, there are conditions for forgiveness. Salvation is for whosoever will. Are you willing to meet the conditions for forgiveness? I want you to think of just what, why, and who it was when Jesus spoke of an unforgivable sin in Matthew 12:22-32, in Mark 3:22-30, and Luke 12:10. I want you to think of what they were doing, why Jesus spoke to them of an unforgivable sin. The background of what he said about that unforgivable sin was a controversy between Jesus and the religious leaders of his time. The Pharisees refused to see the merciful hand of God in the work of Jesus, and rather attributed his miracles to the power of Satan. For any who would deliberately close their minds to the work and invitation of God in Christ to draw near, repent, and receive forgiveness, there is no hope. For all such who deliberately closed their minds to the work and invitation of God in Christ to draw near, repent, and receive forgiveness, there is no hope. But the fault lies with them and not with God. A firm condition for receiving of God's forgiveness is the willingness to forgive others. Matthew 6:15. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Brethren, the unforgivable sin is unforgiveness. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who could ever testify that Satan had nothing in him. Everybody else, we're all born sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous. There is none good except the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was the only one who had the authority to threaten with the sin of blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Any other man who ever does that is practicing priestcraft, unless they're trying to save somebody's life who's threatening to commit suicide, because we know that suicide or receiving the mark of the beast in your right hand or forehead is the only way of blaspheming the Holy Spirit. But brethren, don't miss this. Whatever you do, don't miss this. Understand that the unforgivable sin is unforgiveness. There is a firm condition that God places for receiving God's forgiveness, and it is that willingness to forgive others. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Brethren, I hope you can receive this, because there is nothing like unforgiveness which will break your fellowship with God and break that relationship that you must have with God, break that positional authority that you've got to have in this time, seated with the Lord Jesus Christ by His Spirit at the Father's right hand, in that position of authority that is far above all principalities, powers, thrones, and dominions. The first person you have to forgive is yourself. And you must walk in forgiveness, and you must understand that God does put a firm condition for receiving of God's forgiveness, and that is the willingness to forgive others. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So, brethren, when we look at that cross, all of a sudden, it ought not make any difference what that so-and-so did to you. It's a matter of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you. And I hope you can receive this truth, that the unforgivable sin is unforgiveness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua.